The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Oh yeah, we're front row, and my friend saw blood coming out of his head.
Oh my God!
Oh Jesus!
There he is!
Oh,
there he is!
There he is!
There he is!
Oh come on!
He's walking!
And this is interesting. He had already attracted the attention of security people at the screening area for the rally. He had been walking by the magnetometers with a rangefinder in his hand. Now, a rangefinder is something that shooters use to measure the distance in long shots. Golfers use them too. Looks like a small pair of binoculars, but if you're a police officer or someone who knows about firearms, you'll know what that is when you see it. He was carrying it in his hand and kind of circling around the mag area.
The amount of negligence, the amount of mistakes that was made here, I have a very difficult time not leaning myself towards this was intentional as opposed to fecklessness. You're not trying to be a conspiracist, but you look at it and you go, how could this have gone so...
But it's one thing if someone on the street says it. It's another, I mean, you, Corn Mills, member of Congress, former sniper, you saying it, I mean, it makes my eyebrows go up. Wouldn't you say you're walking the line on this, intentional what?
You know, it almost seems to me, and I think that an investigation is necessary at this point within Congress, not just the FBI, not just others. When something's so significant, you're talking about something that hasn't happened in decades, right?
My
point is this. From a perspective of someone who's actually conducted these are not difficult advances.
You're saying this is so basic that how big the screw-up was, that's what's leading your brain down the throat?
That's exactly right.
And although the party's completely unified, there's one burning question on all of our minds. Did Biden's Secret Service almost get Trump killed? All evidence points to yes. We're told tonight that U.S. authorities had intel of an Iranian plot to assassinate Trump. CNN reports that Secret Service knew it and beefed up security ahead of his Saturday rally. If you believe this report, that means the security Trump had on Saturday was beefed up. Impossible. Credible reports say Trump's security detail was starved of manpower. Agents were reportedly diverted to a hastily arranged small Jill Biden event in Pittsburgh at the same exact time as Trump's rally. Huh. And Kamala happened to be in Pennsylvania that day, too. The Secret Service denies resources were diverted, but reports say they were stretched so thin, they only had two counter snipers for the rally, too. And they had to farm out the rest of the protection to local stringers.
And I'm not sure what's worse. Jim, what's worse? That requests for enhanced security measures around President Trump were not granted and he was subsequently almost killed? Or that they were granted and this is the best you could do with the technology and he's almost killed? Which one's worse?
This is not a matter of incompetence because it goes beyond incompetence. This is a matter that makes, from the point of view of what happened, makes no sense except if there was somebody in the police or in the intelligence agencies or in the Secret Service who was in on it, who actually was working in tandem with this kid, allowed him to get up there.
You know, at some point we may find out what happened on Saturday. A guy with a rifle wound up on a building, you know, that close with a ladder, and all these people saw it, and the Secret Service, they're like, what is that? You know, it's not crazy to think that there was something there. It was an effort to kill Trump, and it wasn't just a lone gunman.
Lots to unpack in that cold open. It wasn't just a lone gunman. That's Tucker there at the end. But all the rest that you heard there, you begin to connect the dots. And like Dinesh D'Souza said, it doesn't make any sense unless it was an inside job. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this program at trumpetdaily.com or at our Rumble channel. Just go to rumble.com/trumpetdaily. If you go to Rumble, give us the thumbs up so that we can bury the few thumbs down that we get from time to time. One programming note, or at least an announcement. My father, for the first time, he offered America Under Attack on the Key of David program. We offer it here, of course, all the time, as you regular viewers know. But that'll be coming out this weekend. And as Sam and I were discussing just before this show, you think about how God has backed his man. In this case, I'm talking about the man over his church, the pastor general of his church. With what's revealed in America Under Attack, it's been out there since 2013, over 10 years. And even with, as I've noted this week, even with statements that my father's made over the last few weeks, prophecy, fulfilled prophecy, that's what we're seeing. We're seeing prophetic events accelerate as never before. And for people to just kind of move on from an assassination attempt and conclude, as some of them are doing, where's the clip of, I think this is MSNBC. It's the regime media saying that, you know, basically we may never know the identity of this shooter. This is what they want. This is what the regime wants. Play that one if you guys can find it.
I will caution people that it is possible that we might never know why this individual got on the roof that day. And I would also caution people think, well, it's anti-Donald Trump because this person doesn't like them, because their views are on the other side of the political spectrum. It is possible that Donald Trump, and there's a bit of a theory in law enforcement, is it possible that Donald Trump was not conservative enough for this individual? It runs the gamut.
Okay, so he was a hardcore MAGA member. And it's possible that Trump wasn't concerned. It's also possible, you know, let's play along. Let's talk about some possibilities. It's possible that we may never know the motive. Is it possible that it was an inside job? Is it possible that the higher ups at the Secret Service level, that someone in there knew to keep that roof, that one roof, the perfect spot for an assassin, to keep it clear? I mean, we're finding out so many details that, as you heard, it doesn't make sense unless it was an inside job. You heard in the cold open there. This is Joe Obama's Secret Service, responsible for protecting a former president, in this case, Donald John Trump. The Daily Mail. More details from across the pond. That's where you have to go to really get into some of the nitty-gritty. I mean, you heard there in the cold open, he was carrying a rangefinder, basically a scope to check the place out ahead of time. And they saw it. The authorities saw it. And they kept an eye on him. And they took pictures of him. And then he's scaling the roof of this metal building, inside of which there were three snipers, like counter snipers. That's where the director wanted to put them because, well, the roof was so dangerous. We'll get to that nonsense in a second. I'm getting ahead of myself. The Daily Mail says it emerged Tuesday that the killer penetrated the security area of the rally a full 3 hours before carrying out his attack. 3 hours he was roaming around in the early hours with the rangefinder, getting his sights set, evidently. At 3 p.m., he triggered a metal detector as he tried to gain access to the site and was found to be carrying a rangefinder, a gun sight typically used by hunters and marksmen preparing to shoot at distance. But evidently, that didn't tip anyone off that this could be a threat. It says, but security officers allowed him in while keeping an eye on him until he left the secure area a short time later. He then fell off the radar until shortly before 5:45 p.m. when an officer with the Beaver County Police Department saw him acting suspiciously near the outer perimeter and took a photograph. It emerged on Monday that a team of police snipers was stationed in the same single-story AGR building that crooks chose to fire from. There were police all around. There were counter snipers right underneath that roof. A metal roof, by the way. My daughter sleeps under a metal roof, and anytime it's raining, it's hard for her to go to sleep because it's so loud. But he's up there just crawling around for 6-7 minutes. And nobody noticed, I guess. Well, except for the one that scaled the ladder, and then the shooter pointed his rifle at him. And then depending upon which version you believe, he either fell off the ladder and took off, or he ducked, or whatever happened. I mean, if anyone had grounds to shoot that kid on the spot, it's a police officer who should have been climbing the ladder with his gun drawn just in case. There's a guy on the roof. He's moving around. Bystanders are pointing him out. Doesn't make sense, does it? Unless there was an insider. Unless it was someone on the inside that wanted Donald Trump dead. It says here, a few law enforcement official told CBS that no action was taken after one of the snipers first spotted crooks looking up at the roof of the building. The gunman disappeared around the corner before he was seen a second time, sitting down and looking at his phone. The sniper then radioed to a command post after seeing crooks take out his range finder. Now just think about this for a moment. Let's just suppose that they can't shoot a guy like this until he shoots first. How does anyone let Donald Trump get on that stage with this going on? How does it happen? It doesn't make sense. Unless it was a plot. Unless it was a continuation of what we've seen for 8 years. Conspiracy. A coup. An insurrection. And this, as others have noted, this was like the obvious final attempt. The last resort. We can't get him thrown in prison. So we've got to take him out. We've got to shoot him. We can't pass him in the polls. So we've got to kill him. We've got to murder him. I mean, that's happened in American history. Do we really believe that we're so far advanced and so sophisticated, particularly when you're looking at what the dear leader has been doing to this man for, as I say, the past 8 or 9 years? How many people in Joe Obama's inner circle do you suppose would like to see Donald Trump dead? Is that possible? You know it's possible. Doesn't make sense, does it? You know how we know that's what they want in their heart of hearts? Because just a couple months ago, they said the quiet part out loud. This was from Fox News. House Democrats have introduced a bill that would strip Secret Service protection from convicted felons sentenced to prison. A move directly targeting former President Trump, who is currently on criminal trial in New York City. And then they quote Benny Thompson. He's one of the lead representatives in the House. I mean, this is something they probably would have gotten through had they had a majority. Denying Donald Trump Secret Service protection. Why would they even want that? Because they want him dead. Do you remember any protests coming from Joe Biden or Barack Obama saying, hang on a second, guys. I mean, we hate him. We hate his policies. But, you know, he is a former president. He needs protection just like I do as the dear leader. I'm Barack Obama. I need security detail. They wanted to strip Donald Trump of that service. Why? So this week, when you hear, oh, well, there was an attack coming from Iran, and we need to enhance the former president's security detail, do you really believe that it was enhanced? Jesse was right there in the cold open. They were downsizing it. They only had two counter snipers up high, that is. They had a few more tucked away inside of a building. Like, that's going to help anything. And they were moving their forces over to Dr. Jill, who just happened to be down in Pittsburgh, and then Kamala was in the state as well. Donald Trump got the third string, the second and third stringers, and not that many at that. And some of them, women, 5'3", who had trouble loading their pistol in the holster. It doesn't make sense unless there were powers that be that wanted him to be assassinated. You think that's that happens? That happens in this world all the time. Murder. And who's the father of it? What's the spirit behind it? Hatred. The spirit, of course, coming from the devil himself. John 8 and verse 44. What we've seen in the years leading up to July 13th is a spirit of hatred like most Americans have never witnessed. Donald Trump is Hitler, and he represents an existential threat to the United States. So do you think there's a few minds in Obama's inner circle that would say, you know what, in order to remove an existential threat, I think a murder is justified. I think an assassination might be in play. You know, you see the spirit intent behind this legislation that they wanted passed back in April, led by Bernie Thompson, famous Democrat. Back in April, you see, they said the quiet part out loud. Why would they not want President Trump to have security detail, to have the Secret Service protecting him? Why? Because they hate him and they want him dead. And back at that time, they thought, well, if he goes off to prison, hopefully he won't get any Secret Service in prison and someone in prison will kill him. Any way that we can get this done, any way that we can remove him, any way that he can be eliminated, to use the word that Representative Goldman used. This is what they've wanted from the beginning. And you can think, we've had discussions this week too about if this is the last resort. And, you know, when General Flynn was even here last year, he talked about how that, you know, for the most part, they go after your character. They assassinate your character. They lie about you. They cheat. They steal. It's harder to pull off an assassination, particularly when all the cameras are rolling, when it's a famous person, because so much is captured on film and more is being revealed. I saw a tweet just before we went to air here today. Someone else who got footage near the podium, but that just has been traumatized by the whole event and didn't want to release it until today. There's going to be more. All the phones and all those TV cameras that were going. And then you've got some pretty good investigators just on social media doing the job that the New York Times should be doing, but won't. No, we may never know. He's going the way of the Vegas shooter. You see, if you commit mass murder and they're mostly Republicans, then you just disappear. Your social media footprint disappears. Nobody knows anything about you. There was no motive. You were just a lone gunman. That's what they're going to try to do with the Crooks fellow. Who was behind Crooks? Who recruited Crooks? Who signed off? Well, we know actually who signed off on keeping the gunmen, or rather the counter snipers, off of that particular roof. That would be the head of the Secret Service, a woman named Kim Cheadle. Yeah, she ordered Secret Service snipers, you stay off of that roof, that one in particular. We'll just put you inside. Why? Who ordered that above Cheadle? Listen, you just heard it on MSNBC. It's possible We may never know the motive. Well, it's possible that we might. It's possible that we might know more than just the motive behind Crooks. I told Sam yesterday, I think this time around, you know, whistleblowers that expose the dear leader, you don't see very many of them, because for a long time they feared the Antiochus. They feared Barack Obama. They feared what Obama would do to them if they came forward. You've got to believe now, though, the tide, you can see it in the Republican National Convention. I mean, the tide is clearly turning. And there have to be some people embedded into the deep state that begin to think, you know what? I think Trump's coming back, and I better make sure I'm on his side. You know how much they fear retribution and revenge. We'll see. We'll see. The deep state's pretty good at covering up their sins, covering up their lawlessness, covering up their criminal enterprise. In comes the FBI to do what? To find the truth or to cover it up? CNN exclusive. U.S. authorities obtained intelligence from a human source in recent weeks on a plot by Iran to try to assassinate Donald Trump, a development that led to the Secret Service increasing security around the former president in recent weeks. Now, do you believe that? It's like Dan Bongino says, what's worse? You're supposed to prevent the assassination attempt. So did they not do that with increased security or decreased security? Well, the truth of it is, we know that in their heart of hearts, they want to decrease. They want to downsize President Trump's security. They said so back in April. And nobody protested it, not on the Democrat side. People on the other side were like, what are you talking about? You can't remove his security detail. He is a former president. No, they want him dead. A lot of people want him dead. That's why they talk about him the way that they do, because they hate him. Trump derangement syndrome. They're sick in the head. These are sick, sick people. And the only one that's going around the country saying these are sick, wicked people, well, besides this work, is Donald Trump. He sees the evil. He and his family, I know you have to publicly say all the right things. I mean, after all, it's the Secret Service. As I was saying yesterday, you can't criticize. You have to say, hey, they saved my life. No, they didn't. God did that. I mean, there was an article today at the Federalist. Jesus is Donald Trump's Secret Service. How many times have you been hearing that this week? From people that can reason a little bit better than the regime. Last night, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, twice, she said God's not finished with Donald Trump yet. That's the title of an article we posted Sunday, right after the attack, right after the assassination attempt. I think there's more people reading through The Trumpet or having read America Under Attack than we probably realize. But whether they have or not, there's a lot of people that see a miracle here. They see God's hand. It was captured on video. I mean, that doesn't happen all the time. There's evidence of miracles all around us, as I was trying to tell the campers yesterday as well. But in this case, you've got the head turn, you've got all of this scientific analysis now. Everything happening there in a period of 0.34 seconds, a third of a second, 9 or 10 frames on a video camera. Turning the head at just the right moment because the assassin, he had his sights set on the middle of Donald Trump's head. And instead of going through his head, through the back of his brain, it grazed his ear instead. because of that little head turn. The Federalist, 2 days after the failed assassination attempt, BeaverCountain.com reported that an officer confirmed there were three counter snipers stationed underneath the same roof where the assailant blew off part of President Trump's right ear. Three counter snipers. They were just underneath the roof. And I guess they couldn't hear anything on the metal roof. They couldn't hear him crawling around up there for 7 minutes. No, they were down there at that command central, you know, just keeping a watch on the lay of the land, out, I guess, presumably through a little window. Three counter snipers? It doesn't make sense. Unless this was an assassination plot from the higher ups. Kim Cheadle is the one that is the director of the Secret Service. Listen to what she said in an interview just the other day, clip three.
Should that roof have been secure, period?
That building in particular has a sloped roof at its highest point. And so, you know, there's a safety factor that would be considered there, that we wouldn't want to put somebody up on a sloped roof. And so, you know, the decision was made to secure the building from inside.
This woman should have been fired for that statement alone. A sloped roof? Look at TMZ's footage of the shooter, the position that he took, and just analyze the roof, the slope of the roof for a second. Clip eight. There you see it. They zoom in, whoever took the footage, you hear the shots on the audio. That's got about as much slope as my mattress does in the master bedroom. That's like 4.6% degree slope. 4.6. And then you compare it to the building behind President Trump where the counter snipers were. It's steeper. So here is this woman. She's the head. Look at this. The shooter's slope, that's on the right. And then on the other side, that's where the Secret Service, where two of them were standing. The woman you just heard said that on the right there, she couldn't dare send Secret Service snipers up there because it was too dangerous. It was too steep. It's unbelievable. The cover-up has begun. They sent in the government to cover up the truth. She said that with a straight face. Who is this woman? Listen to Jesse Waters when commenting on that sloped roof theory, or hoax, actually. Clip four.
We have American snipers shooting from caves, cliffs, mountaintops, but they can't handle a sloped roof? She put counter snipers behind Trump on a roof that was even more sloped. Look at that. The sloped roof excuse is a hoax. What good are counter snipers inside a building if they can't see an assassin scale the building?
This Cheadle woman, embattled Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle, she said in that same interview, I take full responsibility for what happened, but I'm not going to resign. No, I mean, nobody resigns from Joe Obama's administration. Nobody. Milley didn't do it. Speaking of snipers, he called off a sniper taking the shot at the suicide bomb that went and killed all of those servicemen. And did he get fired? No. I mean, they retire and they go off to the speaking circuit and they make millions and millions and millions of dollars. What about the drone strike on that family of 9 or 10? Yeah, Milley, he signed off on that too. Never punished. They never are. Unless, hopefully, if someone like Trump gets in there, they'll be held to account. How does this woman survive just that interview? Seriously. Sloped roof? Embattled Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle, who is facing congressional outcry over calls to resign over security lapses leading to former President Trump's near assassination Saturday, landed her role thanks largely to a close relationship with First Lady Jill Biden. You can't make this up. She was in the Secret Service for a couple decades, I think, and then she went off into the private sector. She was, I think she was the head of security detail over Pepsi, the beverage. And then the Bidens bring her back in 2022, and they put her over the Secret Service, all of them. Cheadle, 53, is the second woman to lead the Presidential Protection Agency and secured the non-Senate confirmed role in August 2022. No democracy coming from the democracy lovers. No, they're just inserted in there. The Bidens love her. They love her. They're not going to fire her. Four sources close to President Biden's family, including people who are interested with Cheadle, or interacted, sorry, with Cheadle during the Obama-Biden administration, said she was well-liked by the future First Lady and her most senior aides, including top advisor Anthony Bernal. Cheadle served on Dr. Biden's second lady detail, and Anthony pushed for her, a Democratic insider told The Post. She's a Joe Bama insider. Now, are any of these people in Joe Bama's inner circle, would any of them actually do something to hurt Donald Trump? Would any of them plot or scheme against former President Donald Trump? That's all they've been doing ever since Trump came down the escalator. Before that, just like Laura Trump said last night, everybody loved him. How do you explain this? The pivot coming from these deranged people, as soon as they put an R next to Donald Trump's name, he's the enemy, you see. Now we hate him. Now he must be destroyed. Now he needs to be eliminated. This was from an interview Cheadle had, I think, a year ago, clip 10.
As I sit in this chair now, of making sure that we need to attract diverse candidates and ensure that we are developing and giving opportunities to everybody in our workforce, and particularly women.
That workforce will be pivotal for the 2024 campaign season, which for the first time includes a former president who already has lifetime protection. Agents were there when Donald Trump was arraigned in New York.
We were able to work out the details ahead of time of how that particular day was going to go, but we will always ensure the safety of all of our protectees that we have.
The service has a zero-fail mission.
A zero-fail mission. They can't make a mistake. Certainly not like the one on Saturday. The guy shows up with a range finder or whatever those are called, and he's casing the place for 3 hours. And they see him, and they take pictures of him, and they see him on the roof. And no doubt heard him. Somebody had to have heard him. But I guess not. Does any of this make sense? It doesn't make sense unless it was an inside job, and now they're hard at work covering it up. Even Dr. Carson last night said they tried to kill him on Saturday. I think people in their heart of hearts, they know that at the very least they cleared the way for the gunman to have a perfect shot at Donald Trump. But it's possible, okay, let's play along. It's possible that it could be even more nefarious than that. Is a conspiracy to kill Donald Trump, is that possible? She wants to get more diversity into the Secret Service. She wants to get more women in there. And you saw quite a few of them on Saturday, as I said, on the program yesterday. She's a Joe Bama loyalist And here, Donald Trump, if we're supposed to believe everything the regime media tells us, here they increased security because, well, there was an Iranian plot. In fact, they withdrew. They downsized the numbers around Trump because, well, Dr. Jill, she's got to be protected too. And, you know, if you're Cheadle, that's one of her best friends. And then, too, Kamala. I mean, she's a woman. So we'll send in the brigade to take care of those ladies. Trump, not so much. We'll let maybe some local authority, they can take over the command center. I'll send a couple of snipers to hibernate in the metal building. And we'll just let this kid who's scoping the place, we'll let him roam. And we'll let him fire off 8 rounds over the course of 6 seconds. 6 seconds. And the two counter snipers on the actual sloped roof, they finally took a shot after that. Even when they were looking in that direction. I mean, once they took the shot, it killed the kid instantly. How did they not see him on that roof before that? And why didn't they take action? At the very least, why didn't they scream to the Secret Service guys down below and say, get him off the stage, get him down? Nobody said anything. Security was enhanced. So says the Secret Service people. We know now about the Iranian plot. And so security was enhanced, right? This was enhanced security? Doesn't make sense. Unless it was an inside job. Listen to Jesse Waters from his show last night, clip 7.
Sources close to the Biden family says Cheadle was well-liked by Dr. Jill after serving on her security detail, and that's how she got the job. This is your typical Biden family affair. Obama's Secret Service director resigned when a man with a knife jumped the White House fence. So is Cheadle just staying around to cover this up? We only get answers when she's out. And just breaking now, Dan Bongino reporting that Secret Service agents have been warned that if they want to keep their jobs, they'll keep their mouths shut.
Really? How? By the way, how is it possible? You know, you heard all the tough talk Saturday night coming from Congress people. We're going to get to the bottom of this. We're going to find the truth. How are they not already having hearings with Cheadle testifying, the two counter snipers? Everybody in that security detail. What were you told? Why was that roof kept clear? What was radioed in after you got a sight on crooks 3 hours early? How's that not going on already? This was the first time a U.S. president has been shot since the early 1980s. President Reagan. I mean, this was Donald Trump coming within, what, a few millimeters of being murdered on live TV. I suppose there's going to be some strongly worded statements and, of course, no firings, no resignations, and maybe some committee hearings that, you know, make a few people a little hot under the collar. Donald Trump was murdered. Were it not for God's intervention, he would have been murdered. Just a few days ago. One more clip from Jesse last night, clip 5.
And why did the Secret Service announce Crooks acted alone before they'd accessed his phone? How'd they know? We hear they're in his phone now, but they're not telling us anything. The assassin didn't text, didn't email, didn't have calls from anybody, had no Google search history, no social media footprint. Come on. The FBI covered up the trans shooter's motive, never ID'd the Vegas massacre motive, and called the Fort Hood shooting workplace violence. You think we're going to get a straight answer here?
Has the FBI ever covered up? He brings up some examples there at the end. He brought the receipts. Has the FBI ever covered up murder, or at least the motive behind it, or the motive behind an assassination. This is like Lee Harvey Oswald all over again. I mean, that happened back in the 1960s. It's happened before. It doesn't happen often, but it has happened in America's history. Could it happen again? Is it possible for this to happen again? Sean Davis, brilliant work over at The Federalist, and courageous, I might add. Sean Davis says, they kept the rooftop open, watched the shooter, kept Trump on the stage, and didn't do a single thing until he had been shot. And we're supposed to believe it was an innocent oopsie? Does that make sense? Does any of this make sense, that it was just one little mistake after another? Sorry, we made a few mistakes. Nobody wants to hear this, but because of the implications, but oh well, because it needs to be said. Joe Biden's security regime, keep this in mind as we go through this. This is Joe, we'll say Joe Bama. This is Joe Bama's security regime. He says they deliberately and with malice and forethought created the conditions. It might even be worse than that. Is it possible? They created the conditions that led to an attempted assassin shooting Donald Trump in the head. It is by the grace of God that he lived, and our nation is not currently in the midst of a violent civil war. You see God's hand here, and you also see a satanic attack. It says they deliberately starved Trump's security team of the resources it needed, and they did it repeatedly over many weeks and months. This has been happening for months. They can talk about, hey, we enhanced it all the more, and that makes them look like fools. But they didn't enhance it. They said the quiet part out loud back in April. We don't want Donald Trump to have security. We don't want him to have Secret Service protection. And Cheadle, for her part, we don't have all the dialogue. We don't have the phone calls. I mean, those things are blotted out. Just like Crooks's footprint. Hasn't spoken to anyone. Never sent an email. Parents aren't being interviewed, I guess. Maybe by the FBI. Is anyone curious? Donald Trump was nearly assassinated. But they just blot out any trail that might lead from this young man to maybe someone else. How do they know that he was a lone gunman? How do they know that he had no motivation? They've said that enough now to where MSNBC comes along and says, you know, we may never know the motive. Here we are, 3 days, 4 days after the assassination attempt, and you've got the regime media saying, you know, we might just never know. Deal with it. He's gone the way of the Vegas shooter. Can you maybe investigate it a few more days? Is that possible? It says, with Trump's security detail understaffed, under-resourced, and stretched to its limits, Biden's security regime reportedly diverted even more resources to a hastily planned Jill Biden event. It was a perfect setup. Hey, last-minute call to the Secret Service. We've got another event down in Pittsburgh. Let's divert some of Secret Service down to there. Got to take care of it. We got to protect everybody. Biden's security regime then ordered the most obvious assassination perch in the entire area to remain outside the main security perimeter. They ordered it. How do you know? You heard it from Cheadle's herself. The guy asked her, should there have been a counter sniper on that roof? No, I ordered. She didn't use the word ordered, but she says couldn't do it. Too sloped. Too steep of a slope. We can't risk the lives of our Secret Service. Furthermore, Biden's Secret Service director ordered law enforcement and counter snipers off the roof the assassin used. The roof was no problem for the 20-year-old kid. It says, if that weren't enough, Biden's security regime also refused to block the line of sight from the assassin's perch to Trump's location when law enforcement radioed in a suspicious person using a laser range finder at the building and even took photos of him. Nothing was done to detain the assassin. And nothing was done to get Trump off the stage either. Nothing. He was up there speaking away. And then he went off on a tangent, as I covered yesterday. He looks over at the screen. The slide is there. The graphic is prepared. Illegal immigration. Setting things up from God's perspective for a life-saving head tilt. It says here the assassin was so obviously a threat that bystanders at the event begged law enforcement to stop him, but nothing happened. And even as snipers on the roof near Trump saw a gunman on the other roof, Biden's security regime refused to have agents immediately surround Trump or remove him from the stage to protect him from being shot. Now listen to this, because here again, there are fruits that we can judge by. Sean Davis says, given the lies and nonsense from both Biden's Department of Homeland Security secretary and his Secret Service director, it's increasingly difficult to believe this was just a series of independent mistakes. Is it possible that it wasn't just a series of independent mistakes? It says here, and when you add in how little information we've been given about the shooter, apparently the only person on earth not on the internet, you begin to wonder if maybe a group of people at a different three-letter agency might have been working on a parallel track to find and encourage people to take action against Trump at the very same time he was kept vulnerable by Biden's regime. Is any of this possible? Do you think it's possible that this could have happened the way that Sean Davis is describing it? Good for him, by the way. It was the featured article first thing this morning. I think it was posted last night. And then like an hour later, I had a hard time finding it. Keep it on the top. Keep it up there for 2-3 days. That's my recommendation. I'm not the editor there, but look, this is an attempted assassination of Donald Trump that may have been an inside job. It says, we know this happens because the FBI did it with Gretchen Whitmer. It recruited and urged disturbed individuals to buy weapons and to put together a plan to kidnap her. That was orchestrated by the FBI. And of course, as we know, it was a trial run for the Fedsurrection on January 6th. This is the way these people operate. They do it all the time. They're professional in many cases. They're professional propagandists. And then when things go wrong, not according to plan, then they go in there and try to cover up the truth. Don't release the footage. Go after them on technicality. Change laws if you have to. New York did that to go after Trump on the finance thing. They changed laws. And then they boosted a misdemeanor. They were trying to get a conviction. They wanted it to be of a felony so that they could then remove the Secret Service detail. And hopefully he's eliminated for good. Is it possible that there was something much more sinister that happened there Saturday afternoon in Little Butler, Pennsylvania? Says, what happens when an agency like that, or maybe even another three-letter agency, decides instead that it's had enough of Trump? Some former FBI employees might even call it an insurance policy. So who was the shooter talking to in the hours, days, and weeks ahead of the event? Who was he meeting with? FBI, you see, they've got the phone. Took them a while to get into it. They're into it now, evidently. What do they know? Who is he in contact with? How do they know he was a lone gunman already? That's what they want us to think. That's what they want you to think. It says here, did anyone suggest or nudge or urge him to go to the Trump rally in Butler? Did anyone suggest or point out to him the building he eventually used? How did he know that building would be free from law enforcement, at least up top? How did he know? How did he know he could get up there and roam around for 7 minutes, find a good place, get a good sight on Trump, get him right in the crosshairs? The fake president, he was a little uneasy about the thought of him saying crosshairs when he really didn't even say it. As I said yesterday, it's on the brain. And every once in a while, they say the quiet part out loud. Donald Trump doesn't deserve Secret Service protection. Why didn't they just identify him by his plates or registration or next of kin? I'm picking it up a little further down. The FBI told us almost immediately that while it couldn't open the assassin's phone, it knew he acted alone. That's kind of strange when you think about it. They told us almost immediately that they identified him by DNA, despite him having no criminal record. What? Davis says, why not just check the plates in the car that he drove up in? I mean, he had a car, he was carrying a ladder. It says here, at some point, you just have to say enough with the lies. We saw what they did with the Russia hoax. We saw the Kavanaugh hoax. We saw the COVID origin hoax. We saw the Ukraine hoax, the stolen election, the January 6th operation, and then the armed Mar-a-Lago raid and the myriad illegal cases against Trump. I mean, let's just connect the dots, as Tucker said in that clip we played earlier this week. Let's just look at the chain of events and see where this obviously leads to. They called him Hitler. They said he was an existential threat. They said he would destroy democracy. They said he was the most dangerous person on earth. Then they denied him security. They kept the rooftop open. They watched the shooter and did nothing. They kept Trump on that stage. And they didn't do a single thing until after he had been shot in the head. And we're all supposed to believe it was just an innocent oopsie. Does that sound plausible? That this was just an innocent mistake? We just overlooked a few key details, that's all. My father's book, as I say, this, I mean, the events, especially from the past several weeks, they really just make you appreciate what God inspired to be written in this book so many years ago, because it's the only book out there that explains why all of this is happening. Who's behind it? Where is it leading? Well, you can get to the answers to those questions in America Under Attack. The 800 number, as you see there, is 1-866-930-3024. If you'd like to submit some feedback to the show, you can do that at our Rumble channel, leaving a comment underneath, but be nice. Or you can email us directly, td@thetrumpet.com. That's all that we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Thank you for joining us on today's program, and we'll see you tomorrow.